You're listening to Clifford Kelly on Straight Truth Radio, the podcast.
Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the Straight Truth Radio Podcast, the place where the lip of truth endures forever. I am your host, Cliff Kelly. Thank you for tuning in this evening. Here where we're just trying to bring an understanding to end time events. We want to thank you again for your listenership. We're excited about the word that, you know, God gives us to bring to you. Each week, we're going to go ahead and get started with this episode here. This episode, I told you so. I told you so. It's not exactly what you think, but then again, it kind of is what you think. And, you know, you can judge accordingly as we move along throughout the course of days. In the word of the Lord, you know, God always gives us warning. He gives us warning. In fact, in Amos, I think it's Amos chapter 3, verse 7, 3 and 7, I think it is, where he says, surely the Lord does nothing but, in the King James idiom, he does nothing but he tells first his servant, the prophet. Another translation of that, he does nothing unless he first tell his prophet the whole story. And so so what God will do, he, you know, nothing should ever catch us by surprise. You heard me say that before. I think if you go to Psalms, I think it's the 25th Psalm, verse 14, he says there, the secrets of the Lord are with him that fear him. And he shows him, his secret. He shows them, you know, what is going on. So there is nothing that, if we are in the Lord, we're serving the Lord, if we are fully sold out to the Lord, we trying to really hear from him, serving him with our whole hearts. There's nothing that is really supposed to befall us and really take us by surprise. So the question comes, you know, how is it that, you know, these things happen? It really stands to reason. Without question, you have to ask yourself. You have to ask yourself the question: are we in the will of the Lord? Are we doing what the Lord said and required of us? And so we really have to really measure ourselves according to the word of God, not according to ourselves. This is not about living by your truth. I have my truth and you got your truth. I said this before and I'll say it again. He is the truth. And it does not matter what your truth is. This is my truth. If your truth does not line up with God's word, then your truth is a lie. That is the bottom line. There's no compromising that. There's no negotiating that thought. And when the word of the Lord is given, okay, what if some don't believe? If some don't believe, in Romans it says, what if some don't believe? Does that make God's word of none effect? God forbid. Let every man be a lie, but let God's word be true. And so in this episode here, we're just very simply, you know, God gave his warnings. If you go to I think that's Second King chapter 7. And in fact, if you go to the first chapter, the chapter before that, chapter 6, you see Syria warred against he warred against, they warred against Israel. And, but the problem with Israel, the problem with Syria or the king of Syria, every time they were trying to do something, Israel was prepared for it. Israel defeated them. And the king had a problem. He was like, what, how is it that everybody knows what is going on? What, how does everybody know? How do they know what I'm doing? And somebody said to them, he said, you know, it's a prophet down there. And he knows your secrets. He knows what you're saying and doing in your bedchamber. And so he sent his army down to retrieve and to get Elisha. He sent for to get Elisha. And so when the armies come, they found out where Elisha was, and when they swarmed up on him to get him, Elisha's servant saw them and he said, oh master, what shall we do? You know, this ought to be a warning. Or this ought to be encouragement to us that even when we are in the will of the Lord and we are trying to share God's word and people are trying to cancel you because they don't want to hear the truth, the bottom line is you can't be canceled. No one can cancel you if you are in the will of the Lord, if you are serving the Lord with your whole heart. You can't be canceled because you can't cancel God. I don't worry about what people say about me and the lies that, you know, that are being brought up about me, or when people try and scheme or whatever. I had a motto years ago because I found it out to be true. I, any day of the week, can outlive your lie. And so I don't worry about what is being said at any given time. I need to know, first of all, is what I'm saying true? Can I line it up with the word of God? If I can line up what I'm saying with the word of God, I ain't worried about what you're talking about. I'm not worried about what you're talking about. And I don't worry about whether you receive it or not. My job is to lay it out. It's to lay it out. Amos, again, chapter 3, verse 7. God does nothing except he tell his servant first. And so when something happens, when it comes to pass, then, you know, nothing happened unless God had already given his word, has already sent his word out. Nothing has happened, you know, if something has happened, what you need to seek and find out, did God say something? And who did he say it to? And if he said it, was that word ever given? Was it ever shared? You know, how is it that this thing came upon us and we didn't know it? And so, you know, God always gives us a warning. So let me finish that story. So then when the army came upon Elijah, again, chapter six, and then I'm going to go into chapter 7 because I want to make a point here. Chapter 6, Second Kings, the army comes upon Elijah and his servant. He said, "Alas, my master, what shall we do? What's going on? What are we gonna do?" Elijah never broke a sweat. He just simply prayed, "Lord, open this man's eyes, open my servant's eyes, open his eyes." And so I'm praying that God will open the eyes of the saints again, so then we will see the mistakes that we're making and we can see who is with us versus those who are trying to come upon us. And so there's no reason for us to compromise in this day, because this is the day of God's power. Now, again, let me finish the story. So what happens? The Spirit of the Lord, Elisha's prayers answered. The Spirit of the Lord touches the servant's eyes, and he sees the angels and chariots surrounding the Assyrian army. And he said, "Alas, they are more with us than with them. And when they struck, the Syrian army was struck with blindness. And went, and watch this. And the one who they came after served them, fed them, and sent them away. And just sent them away. Now watch this. I was trying to go to chapter. There was a word that I wanted to, a simple word I wanted to deal with in chapter 7, and where Elisha prophesies, because again, there was the Syrian army went to war against Israel. Israel moved down to Samaria, and there was a famine in the land. There was a famine there. And so Elisha, now we go to chapter 7. In chapter 7, Elisha prophesies and he speaks it. Matter of fact, I want to say exactly what he said. Let me go to, I said 2 Kings. Let me pull that up right now. 2 Kings, the 7th chapter. And so, then Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measure of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." Now listen, this is the smart folk that not in touch with the Lord, and then they criticize you because you are in touch with the Lord, and they try and, you know, check you, because here's the thing, they see the facts, they see what's going on. The fact is that this is a famine. The fact is, we are in a recession. I don't care what nobody say. The fact is, we are in a recession. There's inflation going on. But I also told you that this day was coming. I told you before this election came that because this is what the people want, our actions and activity, because we did not want to hear and receive what God was trying to tell us or was trying to lead us into. I told you that God said, I'm going to give the people what they want. Now, I also told you, and I led you, where it was in the book of Samuel, was it 1 Samuel? I think it was the 8th chapter. He said that when the day came that your leader, because when they rejected Samuel's word, they rejected Samuel and the way that Samuel was trying to lay out before them, they said, give us a king so we can be like the rest of the nation. God gave me something about that. I don't have time to develop it at this episode, but I'm going to get into it in just a few episodes later. So we can be like the other nations. So God told Samuel, they're not rejecting you, they rejected me. But let them know that what they want, they're not going to like what they get. And he taxed them, talking about Saul. Saul, now watch. Today, we didn't like what was being laid out before us, and we chose to go another way, and I told you, God is going to give the people what they want. And now, because of the person, now here's the thing, he told you what he was going to do. And a lot of times people say, well, you know, the president can only do but so much, you know, because there's somebody controlling that and, you know, whatever. And so he can only do but so much. No, but this president, he told you what he was going to do. And with that, inflation and recession has now set in. Somebody's complaining, why are eggs cost so much? Why is milk going up? Why is bread going up? Why is all this stuff happening? Well, told you, these things were going to happen. But wait a minute. Let me so let me go back into this first story. Oh, but what, let me finish that kink. See, I'm so excited. I get excited when the things that God give us, when it actually when it comes to pass. I have to come back and remind you, hey, listen, I don't know who you listening to, but you better get on this train. God, you know, we're hearing from God. We're trying to set you up so you don't be surprised, so you know what's going on. I don't know who you hearing from, but you better come on over here and ask any question you need to ask. If what I don't have, we'll take it to heaven. We'll find out. We'll get it to you. You better get on this train. And so, when God told Samuel to tell him, now when it happens, don't come to me. I want to hear it. I don't want to hear it, because he warned you. And so the only thing that gets God, we know that God is, he, you know, his anger is but for a moment. But what changes him is when we repent and we return back to him, when we come to him with our whole heart, not with our lips. He can tell the difference when you're coming with your lips and your heart is really far from him. He knows the difference. And so watch this. So that was that. Now let me get back over to 2 Kings. Verse 2. Then the Lord, whose hand the king leaned, answered and said, man of God, and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows of heaven, might this thing be? In other words, the thing that Elisha prophesied, the deliverance that was coming, they could not see deliverance because of the famine was so great. The prophet prophesied deliverance to them. And Elijah's word was very simple. And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof. What happened? Let me hurry up and move on to this next thought. So what happened? So there were four lepers, and there was a famine in the land, and they didn't want to die. They knew that down the hill and around the road, there was why are you trying to call me now? That there was deliverance down the road. There was food there. And so they went to see the Syrians. They went down to see the Syrians. But what God did, he put a microphone, a megaphone in the footsteps of those four leprous men. And what the Syrians heard, they thought they heard troops coming after them. Now, keep in mind, these was the same troops. This was the same camp that just came after Elisha. They were defeated there, and they thought that they was coming back for them again to wipe them out. And they took off, left, ran, and left all the spoils there. Just left everything there. Left everything. When the leopards came up on the Syrians and saw what the camp where the Syrians were, they saw bread, meat, flour. They saw everything there. And not being selfish, they went back and told the king, and then they came down for 3 days they came down and every need was full. But watch this. God told the prophet, who are you listening to? God told the prophet. But not only that, Jesus said in John chapter 14, John chapter 14, he said, I tell you things, somewhere around the, I think, 29th verse. He said, I tell you these things before it happens, so that when it comes to pass, you might believe. Who are you listening to? What are they saying? And are their words ever coming to pass. I'm not talking about, I'm not prophesying money. We're not prophesying money. We ain't prophesying houses, land. We're not prophesying material things. We are trying to warn you and prepare you to get yourself ready for the greater things. And when I say greater, I mean more, there are some things more prominent than just money, cars, houses, material things. There is a war coming. There is, and see now, while people are waiting to be raptured out of here, the Bible I read don't say that. And I got the same print everybody else got. The Bible I read does not say that you that we are going to escape a war that is happening. Beloved, if we're going to be here, then we need to be prepared how to make it while we're here. What to do while we're here. So Jesus said, I tell you these things before they happen. So when it comes to pass, you might believe. Paul even said himself in 2 Thessalonians, when he's now giving, he has to give a rebuttal for the things that he said before. He said, remember when I came to you, when I told you? You know, he because watch this, the argument, or there was a teaching, there was a belief that rapture, the second coming, was imminent. And so now he's giving a defense for what the belief was, you know, what was said to be believed of something that was imminent. I said this before, and I'm putting my stake in the ground. If the rapture, the second coming of Christ, if it's imminent, then somebody lying. Because Christ didn't say that he can come, that he will come at any moment, at any time. He gave a time when he was coming. He said when he was coming. And so for us to, for the rest of the body, see, what I notice is that everybody pulls from the prophets, apostle, this apostle, the prophet, that book, and this, say whatever, and they build these doctrines. Again, we look through a glass darkly, and we see in part, and we take that part, and we make a whole doctrine out of it, and we want to believe it. You know, don't nobody want to be here, you know, when war happens. Of course we don't want, you know, no one wants to be here when the mark of the beast is coming. And we think that what is happening is the Lord's wrath. And we don't want to be a part of that. So we say, you know, we're not going to have our part in, you know, in the we're not subject to the Lord's wrath. And you're right. Scripturally, you are right. But the whole doctrine and belief system, you are absolutely right. We will not be a part of the Lord's wrath. So then we have to ascertain, then what is this that is coming? It is not the Lord's wrath. I was kind of hemming and hawing around, you know, about it. I also told you that be prepared and be looking for, we see now in the news, we see now that, the news is starting to report, this document gate. I'm gonna henceforth call it Document Gate. You know, with our president here, President Biden, Document Gate. Now, here's the problem. Now, and I believe this started, if I got my information right, correct, I believe this started as far back as Nixon, okay? Nixon sued the government. He sued somebody and he won a settlement about the documents he had. And almost every president since, after their presidency, kept documents. You know, there's Clinton had documents. Both Bushes saved documents because what the president can do, and I'm sure you're hearing this on the news if you're listening to it. So this is not prophetic. This is what is already being spoken. What the president can do is they can declassify documents that they keep, because in a lot of cases, when these presidents keep these documents or whatever, they're saving them for a time when, you know, if not for their own personal library, when libraries will be built dedicated to them, and those documents become part of the library, part of history, whatever. But it seems in these past couple of administrations, now all of a sudden, you know, the people who are in charge of these archives or whatever, they want their documents back. Well, how far back are we going to go with DocumentGate? Now, what makes this different is that President 46, at the time, these documents of which we speak of that he's caught up in, he was a vice president. He's not held, or he doesn't have the pleasure of that same standard of declassifying documents. That is only the pleasure given to the pleasure of the president. So whatever he had, how did you get them? Why did you keep them for so long? And now what are we going to do? What is going to be done about it? But I told you, just wait and see. There's going to be news that's going to start coming out, and all of the handlers are not going to be covering up or sheltering this president as much anymore. Because what happens is when you have satisfied the base, it's a funny thing how people work, how politics work. When you have satisfied the base, you no longer are useful. And when people are ready to move on, they're ready to move on. And they don't care how they move on from you, they will move on. And so now what used to be, you wasn't allowed to say anything. You wasn't allowed. Comedians couldn't even talk about 46. Did you see this weekend? Every comedian, I just kind of just went to channels, and everybody had a joke about DocumentGate. The gloves are off. And so I hope you're praying for this man. I hope you was praying for the last one. I hope you was praying for 45, 46, 43, 42, all the way down. I hope you were earnestly praying for him. Because when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. So, but the truth of the matter is, we know that none of these men are saved. None of them are saved according to the belief system that those who really cater to my system of belief. But it doesn't stop you from praying. God never said, you know, pray for who you like. You know, pray for who's saved according to, you know, your system of belief. He didn't tell you to do that. He told you to always pray for those who are in authority. I don't care whether you like them or not. That wasn't a command. Whether you like them or not, are you praying for them? Yeah, that 45:2. And you're on the other side, 44, yeah, mm-hmm, 43, 42, 41, on down, 46, whoever 47 is, they'll be praying for them, whether they believe what you believe or not, when they get in office. See, on this platform, I'm a saint. I'm a saint first. It's not about, you know, what political party I'm attached to and what my belief system is. My belief system has nothing to do with what this says, because I can't stand before the Lord and tout my political party, what gender I am, what ethnicity I am. None of that is going to save me. Did I follow the word of God? And so, you know, we told you that this day was coming. But there is something else happening too. I keep trying to warn you and tell you that, well, I'm going to drop this nugget. I'm going to drop this nugget. I was trying to save it, but I'm going to drop this nugget. I believe, I did not refer to my brethren or have a conversation with them, but I'm going to state this as fact. Or this is what I'm standing on. This is what Kelly is standing on. I believe that right now, as it stands, we are in Revelation chapter 12. And I want you to go read it. I want you to read it. I started to flirt around with it. I think we're on a precipice and, you know, we're right around, if not in. No, I'm not even playing that game. No. I believe that we are right now in the beginning, right at the beginning. Just because the question has always been to me, and it's been troubling me for months. For months it's been troubling me. When we see the natural things that we see, storms, you know, praying for those family and the families down south, Alabama and you know, Louisiana, the flooding over in Alabama, the tornadoes and Mississippi and Georgia, you know, all over, not only that, but the families in California, the flooding and snowing and everything that's coming from west across the east side, praying for everyone for these natural disasters. Now, but what's been troubling me for months is I had a question and I never have been able to really get the answer. And so I'm just sharing my thoughts with you openly. And that is, what does the activity in heaven look like let me start reverse. What we see happening here on earth, what is the action in heaven doing? Now, what's going on in heaven when we see in the heavenlies, I should say, in the heavenlies, what's happening in the heavenlies when we look naturally and see what's being, what's happening here when we look at the actions of what's happening here on earth? And so I've been settled with the thought that we are in the beginning of Revelation chapter 12. There's a war in heaven. There's a war in heaven. The dragon. And then Revelation defines who the dragon is. Satan, the devil. That old serpent. And him and his angels fought against Michael and his angels. Now watch, you didn't fight God. You know, he can't. In order to get to God, you got to go through the angels. Don't know where to get to him. And do you really, really, you know, is that old saying, your arm's too short to box with God? And keep in mind, this is why we got to be right. The Bible said that we are going to judge angels. Yeah. We're going to judge angels. And so this is why we got to be right, live right, talk right, be holy. holiness becomes thine house. Holiness. And watch this. You can't judge. If you're not making righteous judgment here on earth, you're not going to judge angels. You can't. I remember somebody said to me some time ago, he said, no, you got to be careful because you're being judgment. You being that's judging. You can't judge. And then you hear the saying, you can't judge me. Only God can judge me. Where is that at? In fact, God gave us the authority to judge. When Jesus said, judge not, he didn't leave it there. He didn't say that wasn't his command. Judge not. He didn't say that. What he said was, judge not lest you be judged. For with the same judgment that you give, it will be measured back to you. So I can't sit up here talking about, you whoremongering and fornicating and this and that and everything else, and I'm yet doing it. Now, I can see if I once was a liar, fornicate, and I'm going to be honest with you. I was. That was my sin. That was my one, lying, fornicating, drinking, smoking. Yep, that was my, but no more. But no more. And so I know what the lifestyle looks like, and I can say, bruh, sis, I can tell you where that leads to. But not only that, and not just that, but, you know, God has placed us here to be judges on the earth. And I can't help if you don't like that. Because if I don't say something and keep the record straight, then guess what? I now stand before God myself. And so I'm not, if I'm going to stand before God, it ain't going to be because I was afraid of you. No, not one bit. So again, I believe that we are in the beginning of Revelations 12. Now, how long that lasts, that war, I don't know. Because the next thing that happens is that Satan is defeated and he is thrown down here on earth. And we're told, woe to the inhabitants of earth, because when he comes down here, he comes to make war with the remnant of with the woman and the remnant of that seed, Israel. But the woman is given great help by the wings of the eagle. I told you that the wings of the eagle is the United States. We need to get back in that teaching so you can understand what exactly, why it is we make the claims that we make. And we need to do that. And so I was so excited. And so I'm going to go ahead and wrap up here. I was so excited about getting into this. I don't even know if I really gave you the proper introduction that we normally do. You know, I told you, you know, flash on the QR code here so you can log in and see all the platforms that we are on. And so, but we're going to go ahead and close here. I'm telling you, you better stay locked in to this podcast. You better stay locked in to these teachings. You better stay locked in to this word, because I'm not holding nothing back. I'm not holding nothing back. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm gonna give you what God gave me, and I'm gonna tie it to scripture. And all you got to do, read what I said. Read what I gave you. And go back and read it for yourself. It's one thing if you don't believe me because of what I said. It's another thing when I tell you where to go to look it up, and then you don't believe that. Now that's not on me. Not on me at all. And so we're going to go ahead and wrap this up and close right here. Again, this is the Straight Truth Radio podcast. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. And look, let's get our stuff together, y'all. Let's get our stuff together. I'm not going to tell you, well, the Lord is soon to come, but he's not coming as soon as you think. And so you got time to get stuff right. although tomorrow is not promised to any of us, tomorrow is not promised, but you got time to get stuff right. Why not today? Why not tonight? Repent of your sins. Get to a church house. Find a man, woman of God who you know their heart is pure, and they are serving the Lord with fear and trembling. They have to give an account for your soul. And so, again, this is Straight Truth Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Cliff Kelly. And until we meet again, remember, hold on to him that is able to keep you from failing and from falling. Remember, we are not sinless, we sin less because of him who became sin for us. We'll see you again next week. God bless you. We love you. Bye-bye.